Paul Sheldon drifts in and out of consciousness, aware only of excruciating pain. Through his mental fog, he recalls childhood memories of pilings at Revere Beach that would disappear and reappear with the tide, a perfect metaphor for his current agony. As his mind clears, he realizes the pilings are his shattered legs. A woman looms over him, introducing herself as Annie Wilkes, his number one fan, a phrase that will soon take on sinister meaning. Annie appears unnervingly solid, like an African idol, dense and immovable. She administers Novro, a codeine-based painkiller, every 6 hours. Three crucial facts become clear. Annie has access to many drugs. Paul is becoming addicted to Novro, and Annie is dangerously unstable. She explains she rescued him after finding his overturned car during a snowstorm. When she mentions owning a pig named Misery after Paul's character, he realizes with growing horror, this woman is not right. Annie's true nature emerges when she discovers Paul has killed off her beloved character Misery Chastain in his latest novel. Her rage is apocalyptic. She nearly attacks him with a water pitcher before smashing it against the door. In her fury, she reveals a God complex, declaring a writer is God to the people in a story, and that God happens to have a couple of broken legs in her house. After disappearing for 51 hours, leaving Paul to suffer withdrawal, thirst, and hunger, Annie returns with a bizarre ultimatum. She wheels in a charcoal grill and presents Paul with his manuscript of Fast Cars, the contemporary novel he just completed before his accident. With cruel simplicity, she demands he burn it, offering pain medication as reward. Despite his internal struggle over destroying 2 years of work, Annie's psychological torture eventually breaks him. This act represents more than the loss of a manuscript. It's the obliteration of Paul's identity as a serious writer. Annie presents Paul with an old royal typewriter, missing the letter N, and demands he write Misery's Return as payment for his care. When Paul asks about freedom afterward, Annie's vague response makes the truth clear. There will be none. After Paul's first attempt fails, Annie rejects it as a cheap trick to resurrect Misery, he realizes he must create a believable revival story to stay alive. Like Scheherazade, his survival depends on crafting a narrative compelling enough that Annie will delay killing him. During Annie's absence, Paul escapes his room using a bobby pin. Despite maneuvering his wheelchair through narrow doorways, he discovers a linen closet with pharmaceutical samples and secretly takes 30 Novrafil capsules. In the living room, he finds a telephone, but Annie has disabled it. On another excursion, Paul discovers Annie's scrapbook, labeled Memory Lane, revealing a disturbing pattern of deaths. Though arrested for infant deaths at Boulder Hospital, Annie was somehow acquitted despite damning evidence. The final clipping shows Paul reported missing 2 weeks earlier. With no rescue coming, Paul faces a grim reality. To escape, he must kill Annie, a serial killer who has already evaded justice. Annie methodically uncovers Paul's escape attempts. She reveals her murderous past, confessing to killing a Colorado State trooper who mocked her art criticism. Paul's attempts to hide his excursions fail against Annie's paranoid surveillance. She's placed threads and hair strands throughout the house to detect movement. When confronted, Annie announces she will hobble him, explaining how this practice was used in African diamond mines to prevent escape while preserving workers' ability to labor. The hobbling scene unfolds with horrific precision. Despite Paul's pleas, Annie approaches with clinical detachment, severing his left foot with an axe and cauterizing the wound with a propane torch. Later, when Paul complains about the typewriter's missing N key, she amputates his thumb with an electric knife. She follows this with a macabre birthday celebration, presenting him with a cake adorned with his severed thumb as a special candle. A grotesque display of her complete detachment from reality. Despite his horrific circumstances, Paul finds himself drawn into the writing process. the challenge of reviving misery engages his creative mind, devising a solution where Jeffrey Halliburton hears scratching from her grave, suggesting she was buried alive after falling into a cataleptic trance. As Paul writes, he experiences the familiar flow state of his best work. Writing becomes his sanctuary, the one place Annie cannot control. Paul recognizes he's been Scheherazed to himself, telling stories to stay alive. Though never fully well, he recovers enough to continue. His horizons shrink, but that's the price of survival. He sees the autoerotic parallel in writing. You beat a typewriter instead of your meat, but acknowledges there's also a relationship with Annie, who eagerly takes each day's pages to get her fix. Writing becomes both Paul's prison and escape, Annie's demand, but also his way of maintaining his sense of self. When a young state trooper visits Annie's house, Paul screams for help and throws an ashtray through the window. Before rescue arrives, Annie kills the officer by stabbing him with a wooden cross and running him over with her lawnmower. Realizing his time is running out, Paul decides to handle Annie himself. "They could only put you in jail, bitch. I know how to hurt you." His plan involves charcoal lighter fluid stolen from the cellar. When Paul completes Misery's return, Annie brings champagne to celebrate. She finds him sitting behind a barricade with the manuscript, holding a burning match over it. Paul tells her it's the best of the Misery books, then drops the match, setting the manuscript ablaze. Annie screams, "Not Misery! Not Misery! Not her!" as Paul taunts her. In their final struggle, Annie is severely injured but still pursues Paul until her injuries overcome her. This confrontation represents Paul reclaiming control, not just of his freedom, but of his creative work. 9 months after his rescue, Paul splits time between hospital and a new Manhattan apartment. His rebroken legs leave him with a permanent limp. He drinks heavily and hasn't written since his ordeal. Though Annie died, she haunts him still. He hallucinates her rising from behind his sofa with an axe. The novel ends with Paul finally writing again, not another Misery book, but something new inspired by a boy with a skunk in a shopping cart. As he types, he weets, transported by the act of creation despite his pain, escaping into his fiction, unaware of his physical suffering. Misery reveals that our greatest creations can become our most dangerous prisons. Others' expectations, from readers to publishers to our internal critics, can chain us as effectively as Annie's restraints. Yet within that same creative process lies freedom. When we dare to write what truly calls to us rather than what others demand, we reclaim not just our art, but ourselves. The question isn't whether we can escape our captors, it's whether we have the courage to face the blank page on our own terms.